Well, this Christmas season, our sermons have been focusing on the people that are surrounding the first Christmas and the lessons that we can learn from their lives. And you remember earlier, Pastor Bob, he walked us through some life lessons from the lives of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Elizabeth, you know, was Mary's cousin. You know that these, Zacharias and Elizabeth, were the parents of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. And we learned some lessons from their lives. Last week, looking at the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus, we were reminded how faithful believers respond to the plan of God. When God interrupts our own plans with a plan of His own, we considered how do we respond to that. And we determined from the Scripture that faithful believers, in spite of our confusion and in spite of our fear, we respond to God's plan in our lives with both humble submission and with joy, with joyful song. It's not something in any way that we just grin and bear it and we just make it through what God wants me to do. No, we receive that in humble submission and we take joy in the privilege that we have of being able to give everything to our King and live the way He wants us to live. This morning, I want us to look at another individual that was present at the first Christmas. Joseph was a simple man, a carpenter by trade. And he was the one who had the privilege of rearing the Lord Jesus as a boy. Like Mary, Joseph played a unique role in the birth of Jesus, one that doubtlessly was nothing that he had ever imagined. Like Mary, Joseph received some startling news from the angel. And while Mary received what we might call guiding news from the angel, Joseph received rather discouraging. We might say initially some very heavy news. And that's the focus of my sermon this morning. I want us to look at the life of Joseph, and I'd like us to see how faithful believers respond to heavy news. How do we respond to heavy news? The man that we're looking at today is one of 13 men in the Bible named Joseph. I didn't realize that until I began my study. There are 13 men in the Bible that are named Joseph. And of course, even unchurched people know of Joseph and his coat of many colors, the favorite son of the patriarch Jacob. Many believers are familiar with Joseph of Arimathea. He was, as you know, the wealthy man who provided a tomb for Jesus' temporary burial. But without doubt, those two Josephs and the one that we're looking at this morning are the most familiar in the Scripture. And though Joseph was a carpenter from a tiny, simple village of Nazareth, he stands in the Bible as a godly man whose life has much to teach you and me today. There are a few verses in the Bible that speak of this particular Joseph, and yet those verses do weave together a picture of a life that is worth you and me following. And I want you to take a special note this morning at how Joseph responded to the heavy news that he received. And I want you to see that in the Gospel of Matthew. Caleb read chapter 2 to us. I want you to go in chapter 1 and just a few verses before we get to chapter 2, beginning with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet of the Lord, by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I want us to notice three truths here as we look at the life of Joseph. And here's Joseph, and here's the first one. There's a life truth that you and I hope, are very aware of. Sometimes in life, we get heavy news. I think we'll all agree with that. And I can imagine, if we look at the life of Joseph, that Mary's surprise pregnancy, that had to have hit Joseph like a ton of bricks. This was the woman that he loved. This is the woman that he had committed himself to before God and others. This is the one who he had kept pure despite of his own desires. And this one, this beloved Mary of his, had disappeared into the hill country. She's going to see Elizabeth, as we heard a few weeks ago. Mary disappears into the hill country. She's gone for 3 months, and then she shows back up pregnant. That was heavy news for Joseph. You see, Joseph and Mary, they were in this betrothal period as a couple. It's similar to what we call an engagement, but it has the finality of marriage already stamped upon it. The young couple had registered in the synagogue as husband and wife. Their ceremony could be as far as 12 months away, but they're regarded as husband and wife. They spend this next intervening time before their actual ceremony and the consummation of their marriage. They spend this intervening time building a small home, planning their life together, and of course, all the while keeping themselves pure. So you can imagine, when in the midst of this period, when his beloved Mary goes away and then returns, and he hears the news, and we're not told how he hears this news, but he hears the news that she's pregnant. That would be staggering news. I think any man in here engaged who hears about this from his fiance, we would be staggered by that. We would be really troubled by that. That would be certainly heavy news. And when you think about heavy news coming into our lives, I think we can agree that, first of all, heavy news is unexpected. It's unexpected. There's no doubt Joseph was surprised by that news, just like you and I are when we get heavy news. You're going about your normal routine, and you get a call from your doctor saying that your lab work revealed some elevated numbers, and your scan showed something that's concerning. That's heavy news. You go into work just like you normally do each weekday, and today you're told that your job is being outsourced and you are no longer needed. That's heavy news. You're sitting at home and your phone rings, and you learn that your family member or friend has been seriously injured or maybe even killed. That's heavy. That wayward child that you have been praying for is now, you have heard, in trouble again. That's heavy. And those are just a few of many examples that we could give where we hear heavy news. We don't expect that. We usually don't plan on it. It just surprises us. It's not only unexpected, heavy news is certainly unwanted. There's no doubt Joseph didn't welcome the news that he received. Just like we don't tend to welcome those kinds of messages. No one wants to hear bad news, but bad news is unavoidable in our lives. And this side of heaven, we will always be confronted with it. From time to time, you are in your life, I am in my life, we are going to be confronted with difficult news as part of life on a fallen planet. Because of the fall, it impacted every aspect of our lives. When our first parents sinned in the garden and sin passed upon all men, the scripture says, so that all have sinned, it impacts every aspect of our life. And the scripture is very specific about some of those aspects. And you can go to Genesis and you can see the results of the curse. What God said, this is going to be the case because of this. But there are lots of other aspects that we just live out in our lives from day to day. And part of that, one of those aspects is from time to time in this fallen world in which we live with all of these sinners, because that's who all of us is. We get heavy news. It's not only unexpected and unwanted. Think about this. It's also repetitious. We're going to keep on getting heavy news. And that was the case with Joseph. He gets this news initially. His wife is expecting, and he knows he's not the father of this child. That's heavy. But then you go to the next chapter that Caleb read for us, and one of the last verses that he read for us was in verse 13. In chapter 2, when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So he's gotten some heavy news earlier, and now Jesus is born. That all gets cleared up. Jesus is born, and now he gets news that your son is targeted by the king. He wants to kill him. Now that's heavy news. I think so often it's easy for us to just read words like this and say, you know what, every year at Christmas time we read these words and that's just part of the Christmas life story. And we don't stop to think that man was told by an angel that the king wants to kill your son. That's heavy. And it's part of life. And I think while the first news related to his wife, this one, of course, related to his child. And I think often heavy news that relates to our children, that's some of the heaviest news that parents deal with. It's hard to receive. But you know, it is a truth. It's a truth of life. Sometimes we're going to hear heavy news. And this unavoidable reality is true for everyone on the planet. And because it is true, and because from time to time this does happen in our lives, then perhaps we should ask this question, which is the second thought I want us to consider. Well, how should we respond to heavy news? How should we respond to that? And you look at the life of Joseph. And I want you to notice how he responded. The truth here is that when we hear heavy news, we patiently trust God and obey him. That's how Joseph responded. We patiently trust God and obey Him. And you see many examples of that in the Bible. We know that Joseph took Mary unto himself, and that was the command that he was given from the angel. Don't be afraid to take unto thee Mary thy wife. And then in verse 24, it says that he took her to be, he took her in as his wife. He didn't have to do that. Joseph could have reacted. He could have gone his own way. He could have chose not to trust God. But he chose, even in the midst of his heaviness, not to go his own way. And you think about that. I think many of us in that situation would be so challenged to go our own way and get over this heartache and just forge another path of our own doing and not have to have that as a part of my life going forward. But that wasn't Joseph's choice. Joseph responded. Joseph did as he was commanded. Joseph and Mary remained pure. He knew her not, verse 25 tells us. Joseph named him Jesus. That's what the angel said. When he's born, call his name Jesus. He's going to save his people from their sins. We're told that in verse 21, and in verse 25 we're told, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph believed what the angel said. He immediately obeyed and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, even in the midst of his heaviness. I imagine what the angel told him then, that this child is, your wife is with child of the Holy Ghost. Now that'd be staggering to anybody. That'd be a hard thing to process, no doubt. But he receives that message. He believes what the angel of the Lord is telling him, and then he begins to respond. He goes down to Egypt. That's what the angel told him to do. In chapter 2 and verse 13, go down to Egypt. Verse 14, he went down to Egypt. He returned to Israel. He's commanded that in chapter 2 and verse 20. In chapter 2 and verse 21, he obeyed. And the point I want to make here is the unmistakable truth about Joseph here is that he consistently trusted God and obeyed him, even in the midst of his heaviness. And again, those are easy words to roll off of my lips. But when the rubber meets the road, all of us know those are challenging words for us to live. But that is what faithful believers do. Even in the midst of heartache, even in the midst of heaviness, we just move through our life patiently trusting God. We're calling out to Him. We're crying out to Him. But we're patiently trusting and obeying God. That's the proper response. That was Joseph's. And that's the proper response for you and me. When we've lost our health, when we've lost our job, when we've lost our loved one, when we've lost our financial situation, when we've lost our relationship, and heavy this comes because of a loss that we feel. We wouldn't be heavy if we didn't feel a loss in some way. But sometimes we do. We get news and we feel like I'm losing my health. Well, that's heavy. I've lost a relationship with a child or with someone else, a dear friend, and that's heavy. I've lost a loved one. That's heavy. It's when we lose things that we begin to feel a sense of heaviness in our lives. Okay, how do we respond when we feel that? Well, instead of reacting and instead of running away and instead of forging forward or blaming God and saying, God, you're the sovereign one. Why are you doing this? This is not right. This is not just. I don't deserve this. This is not loving. And I'm going to forge my own way. I'm not going your way anymore. Instead of reacting that way, we patiently trust God. We patiently obey what He is telling us to do, just like Joseph did. Now, that is not a natural response. That is not a natural response. I will not naturally respond to heavy news by calling out to God and patiently trusting Him and obeying Him. That's not natural. That's supernatural. That only comes because the supernatural, the Spirit of God who lives inside of you as a believer is really active and working in your heart. And that's what enables you to make such a supernatural response instead of going the natural way. And so you might say then, well, how can I guarantee that kind of response? How can I guarantee that I'm going to respond that way the next time I get heavy news? Well, let's ask ourselves this last question. How do we prepare? Because that supernatural response doesn't just happen. We prepare. We prepare. Joseph had done some preparation in his own heart that enabled him to respond the way he was responding. And that's true for you and me. So how do we prepare for heavy news? I want you just to look at a couple of things in Joseph's life. Here's a couple of principles I think we can gather. Number one, prioritize your walk with God. You're going to get heavy news, and you may get it today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, but you're going to get heavy news. Okay, well, how can you be prepared to receive that in the right way? Well, prioritize your walk with God. That will be the most important thing that you and I can do in order to put me in a position to be able to receive news that's heavy in a way that God would want me to. The Bible says Joseph was a just man. That means Joseph was a righteous man. It doesn't mean that he was simply a nice man, a kind man, a compassionate man, though he was those things. When the Bible uses this word just, it means Joseph was an upright, law-abiding man. That's what that word means. He was an upright, law-abiding man. This is referencing his character. He was a just man. He was aware of the law of God, and he abided by the law of God. That was important to him. It was important to him. Another way you see this in his life is in Luke 2 and verse 41. The Bible says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Here is this man, this just man, that he's rearing his family in the right ways. He's not skipping out. He's going to observe the Passover every year, Luke 2:41 tells us. That's what they're doing. And that's the most important thing you and I can do in order to be prepared to receive difficult news is to prioritize my walk with God. That I'm going to realize the most important thing that I can do to prepare for this is to prioritize my walk with God. I'm going to regularly read the Bible. I'm going to regularly pray and commune with God. I'm going to regularly gather with my church of family for worship and fellowship. Those are all things that are essential for me. To have myself in a frame of mind so that this afternoon when I get a call, if that happens, and the news that I'm getting is really heavy, this is what's going to help me. This is what's going to create the moorings in my life so that I'm not flailing around all over the place and I'm not just jumping after and going after all kinds of things. No. I'm going to be able, because I've been in touch with the Scripture, I've been in touch with God, I have been with the people of God, my heart has been encouraged, so then when I get that news, I can say, you know what, I'm not sure what the end is going to be here, but I know this, I have a loving and a faithful God, and I'm just going to trust Him. I'm just going to wait on Him. That is important to us. Prioritize your walk with God. And then secondly, prize a tender heart. And I think we'll all agree that was true of Joseph. There was a tenderness about Joseph in his life. You see, because Joseph was a righteous man, he had a problem. He knew that he should not go through this marriage because of Mary's pregnancy. He wasn't the father. And he assumed, like anyone would, that she had had relations with another man. He knows he's not the father. He's a righteous man. And look at what's happened. I'm not going to be able to go through with this. That's his thinking because he's a just man. But because of his righteous love and because of his tenderness, he just can't bear the thought of making Mary a public example. So what should he do? How can he reconcile the law that his righteous, law-abiding conscience is directing and his errant wife? How can he justify this? And you see in the Scripture here, he values tenderness. And this is where you see Joseph's heart. See, the law in Israel demanded that a woman pregnant outside of marriage to be stoned. That was the law. If you're looking at the letter of the law in Deuteronomy 22, verses 23 and 24, Mary should have been stoned. That's the law. You think about that. Think how strongly God feels about purity in our lives for Him to make that the consequence of impurity, of unfaithfulness. Now that was the law. But because of the laxness of the Jewish law after the Roman law was introduced, that provided for some other options for him. He could shame her publicly. He could charge her with adultery in a public court and forever ruin her reputation. Or he could quietly, before two or three witnesses, write a bill of divorce and end their relationship. She would go away and secretly just bear this child. Well, Joseph loved Mary, and neither of those options sounded particularly good to him, but he had to do something. And so the Bible tells us he was minded to put her away privily. Still being legally correct, but also compassionate, he decided just to let her go away secretly and let's just end the marriage. And the point I want to make here is that there really is a refreshing tenderness here in Joseph's life. And I want to encourage you and me to value this kind of tenderness in our lives. Learn to value tenderness. Don't be a harsh kind of person. People that have a really harsh demeanor about them don't generally respond to heavy news very well. But if you have cultivated in your heart a tenderness toward God and a tenderness toward people, when you get heavy news, you're going to be more apt to respond in an appropriate way. So prioritize your walk with God, prize a tender heart, and then finally, patiently wait on the Lord. That's what Joseph did when he thought on these things, the Bible says. You see, God is working His plan in your life. Your plan may not have been prophesied in the Old Testament like this one was. And you notice there in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled. God was working in this whole situation because that's what He had determined. And that was the prophecy of the Old Testament. You get into chapter 2 and verse 15, and the Bible says, as Caleb read to us, that it might be fulfilled. There was a prophecy there, and this was the way God was working at that time. And God was working out His plan in their lives. Now, your plan in your life here today in almost 2020 may not have been prophesied in the Old Testament, but God is equally interested in working in your life. God has a plan in your life, and sometimes that plan is going to involve heavy news. And God is going to use the heavy news. God doesn't waste anything. He never does anything on a whim. Never. God isn't going to waste this. God is using it in your life, even heaviness. He's going to use to help us grow in our lives. And learn to be like Him. So Joseph's life teaches us how to respond to heavy news. You are going to have times when what you hear creates a genuine heaviness in your heart. And how you respond to that difficult word is going to be very important in your life. I was just reflecting, and Janice and I were just talking. I was telling her about what my message was going to be this Sunday, and we were just kind of thinking through, talking about that. And then we were just reflecting on what we've just heard this past week. In various conversations that we've had through the course of this past week with all four of our own children, we've talked with them about heaviness that they've experienced. It began, first of all, with our son John and his wife Lauren, the very dear friends of theirs who they had just seen at a program Monday night. The next morning, he dies of a massive heart attack. That's heavy news. Had a tremendous influence in their lives, and God has taken him away. And I could recount the others with each of them that just heavy things going on. And Peggy, I was reminded of Mrs. Plyler and the news we got this week about her son being diagnosed with a cancer. That's heavy news. And it's a part of life. And so we want to make sure that when we get that kind of news, that we're prepared. That our hearts are prepared, that we're constantly in a prepared state. Because remember, heavy news is unexpected. I don't know when I'm going to get it, but I am going to get it. Okay, well, how do I deal with it? Well, what's going to help me is if I prioritize my walk with God, I prize a tenderness toward God and toward other people. That's going to help me. And then I'm just going to patiently wait and trust God. That's the way God wants us to walk. And God's going to want me to do that day after day after day. Think about this. There's never going to be a point of time in your life when you're going to be able to not do this. Every day, God is going to want you to patiently wait on Him and trust Him, even in the midst of the heartache. And the great truth is that the folks sang to us right before the message here. He is the worthy King. He is the sovereign one, and He is working His will out in our lives. And so He knows a whole lot more than we do, right? And so we just need to trust Him. We need to look to Him when we can't see our way through. When the heaviness is so heavy, I just can't see my way through. Okay, you know what? God's going to grow me through this. I'm just going to look to Him. I'm going to patiently wait on Him, and I'm going to obey Him. And let God grow me through these experiences in my life. Let's pray. Father, thank You that You are our Father. And thank You that as a Father, earthly Father, knows how to give good gifts to His children, so much more do You, our Heavenly Father. And what we have right now is certainly the best for us, or You would be giving us something else. And so we thank You for Your sovereign ways, even though we acknowledge in our humanness we don't understand them from time to time. We really struggle with them. But we're thankful that You are a gracious God and a powerful God and a sovereign Lord of the universe. And we want to rest in You. We really do want to surrender everything to You. We want to vow that, just as was sung to us this morning. So help us, Lord, to live in our lives today trusting You. And that even through heartache and heaviness, which every life here is heir to, might we look to You, that we might be encouraged by You, our Heavenly Father. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. I preach this morning primarily to Christians. But you may be here today and you may be not certain about your relationship with God. Maybe you're here today and you're not certain that God is your Father. Maybe you're not certain about your relationship to God. Maybe you struggle with these sins that you have. And as I was challenging our young people into the bus church this morning, the biggest question you and I have to answer in life is, what am I going to do about my sins? And maybe that's a question you have in your life. Maybe you have that question today. Maybe you sit here this morning and you're just really struggling over your sins. And what am I going to do with them? Well, that's why God sent Jesus. He sent Him to be the Savior of the world. He sent Him to save us from our sins, so that we could have life through Christ. And if you're here this morning and you're not certain that you're on your way to heaven, not certain that you've ever trusted Jesus to be your Savior, I want to encourage you. We're going to sing in just a moment. I want to encourage you to come, step toward the back, stop me or Pastor Bob or one of our other pastors after the service. Pastor Bob will be over at the welcome desk. And stop one of us and tell us that you'd like to know more about how God can take care of your sins. And we would love to help you and show you the One who is the Savior of the world. Father, we acknowledge again our need for You. You're working in our lives from day to day, when sometimes we get storms. Help us to walk faithfully with You right in the midst of them, just like Joseph did. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.